Jesus came and took on human flesh to firmly grasp us and save us from our sins, delivering us from the domain of darkness, dying for us. But his death and suffering for us also enabled him to become a faithful and merciful high priest, in which we cry out for deliverance from temptation, who will mercifully and faithfully run to our aid and rescue us.
Thanks for joining us for this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, the passage we're considering is an encouraging portion of Scripture.
Yes, David, is, and actually it's a wonderfully encouraging portion of Scripture. So let's turn right now to our passage. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 14 to 18.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Impossible to be held by death, spotless Lamb of God, who died in our place. Isn't that great? Thus, his power is shattered. His dominion is shattered. Praise the Lord. John 8. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus said, 8:51, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. You'll never see death for sin, eternal death, the second death. You're not going to see it. You're not going to see it because you are set free. We're going to see it in a minute. We're loosed. We're set free. John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death to life. This is great. We're going to sing about this, about how death is swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15:53, for this perishable, that's this running down body, must put on imperishable, that's eternal, right? And this mortal must put on immortality. But when the perishable will have put on imperishable and the mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Rising from the dead, Jesus smashed the devil's dominion of death. Remember, Jesus has the keys to death and Hades, not Satan. Revelation 1:18. Jesus, through his death, brought about the death of death. So let me ask you this. Are you spiritually dead? Is there an absence of the life of God in you? Are you a slave to your own desires, reacting endlessly to fill the void? Well, good news. Jesus came to die, freeing us from the reign of death and the bondage associated. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. And what about believers? We fall back into patterns of sin and death. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? I still got this old body of death hanging out. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the next verse, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, right? Praise God. Christmas is about the death of death. Death is done, and its dominion over man because of the defeat of Satan, because of what Christ did. Now notice, his death also delivered us from death's reign and its enslaving fear. We're going to see what this means. Verse 15, and might deliver those who were through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. And you go, okay, what's that saying now? It's important to notice that the term that through death, middle 14, is modified by two phrases. That through death he might render powerless. We just saw all that. We learned that, right? And that through death he might deliver. Those are two things. The term deliver here, apolasso, is a great word. It means to set free. It means to release. It means to liberate. You ever see those prisoners liberated in World War II? How happy they are. We are liberated here. So we're going to see. But what is he pointing to? Now, we know we're liberated from sin. If the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. We know that. But there's some elements of the whole understanding of how Satan uses death that connects to all this. He's going to point to a certain specific that we're liberated from. He says that he might liberate, might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. What's he talking about? Speaks of a continual action in the past that they were subject continually, habitually, being held in tight control. that through death he might liberate those who were, through the fear of death, all their lives were continually being held in tight control to bondage. Okay, what does that mean? It appears that it seems like the sentence is that through the fear of death they're in tight control, and that kind of troubled me, bothered me. That only, is he just saying that people fearing death, that holds a bondage on him and he's delivered just from that fear? Well, yes, but is that really the whole thing? Because some non-believers are very unfearful of death. You know, you have those dumb evil songs, don't fear the reaper, things like the evil, wicked things. They don't fear death at all. They're very blatant in their wickedness. So how is that inserting bondage on them? It's like, okay. Well, what helped me was the way this is phrased in Greek. You can translate it fear of death or death's fear. You say, what does that mean? Well, hopefully I'll be able to explain it. Do you remember when Genesis, after Adam and Eve sinned, they died spiritually? We got the whole video of it in Scripture, right? Okay. And what happened? Initially, there was a sinful fear that runs away from God and hides and covers up and gives excuses. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Go right back to the beginning. You want to know what sin brings about? Man tries to redefine it all in light of all of man's issues, this and that. Just read the Bible. You don't need to be a scholar to understand these things. And by the way, God hides it from the smarty pantses. You know, you got to humble yourself. Genesis 3:8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. Fear. You see, we've all experienced the reign of death that sin brings. Shame, and then a self-effort to rid the shame, and then guilt with fight or flight, hiding from God. Instead of confession, more blame and cover-up, all arising in sin. And we try to find fulfillment in our own desires. There's always guilt. There's always shame. There's always that lack of peace and contentment. And instead of confessing, we turn away from God. You see, sin holds us in bondage, and Satan uses death's fear, our sinful response to our sin, by the way, which results in more sin and more dominion, to tightly exercise control over us. Sin controls you. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. Romans 5:17, for if by the transgression of one, death reigned through the one. Romans 5:18, so then as through one transgression resulted condemnation of all men. Romans 5:19, for as through one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Romans 6:21, therefore what benefit are you deriving from the things you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:6, for the mindset on the flesh is death. You see, we are subject to the consequences of death and sin. We're subject to it all our lives. But guess what? That through his death he might deliver those who through fear of death are subject to slavery all their lives. He might liberate, set free. Set free those who are subject to slavery. Slavery to sin. And you say, well, I'm not controlled by death's fear. I say, oh, really? Sometimes on two levels. One, physically, just go on a plane flight. You might be thinking about it. Could I die? Certain situations arise in your life, and it's in life or death. You're going to have some fear. But on a spiritual level, man is continually enslaved to the sure signs of spiritual death, which are restlessness, lack of contentment, anxiety, fear. Being enslaved, man tries to fill the void. The devil always has his anesthesia, sex, alcohol, drugs, man-made religion, anything to fill the void that death and sin has caused. But Jesus died to liberate us from the slavery of sin and death. Praise the Lord. So let me ask you, are you a slave to God or a slave to yourself, your sin? If you're a slave to your sin, good news. Jesus died that you would be liberated. Turn to Jesus. save me, Jesus, set me free, and you'll be set free. And then for those of us who are believers, we kind of bond ourselves up here and there with sin. Go to Jesus, confess, be set free. Christmas is about Christ Jesus taking on human flesh, living the perfect life, dying in our place, rendering Satan powerless who had the power of death, and liberating us from our slavery to sin and death. Isn't that great? One pastor shares, praise God didn't just throw a Bible down and say, figure it out. God sent his son into the realm of human existence to live the perfect life and die for our sins. What more could you reject this, the most incredible act of love, sending his son to be like us, to die for us, to save us? If you reject that, there's no excuse. You're worthy of judgment. So if you are in Satan's domain, you can be set free by turning to Jesus. He will set you free. The Son sets you free. You are free indeed. And if you're a believer and you've put yourself back in bondage, you need to go to Jesus. Confess that, but he will set you free. Now notice the last thing in our passage, which is really great. It has to do with the Lord helping us right now. He came to help us now. Verse 16. For assuredly, he's going to explain, he does not give help to angels, but gives help to the sons of Abraham. Now, remember, the argument in this book is he is saying that Jesus is superior to angels. He's superior to angels being God. He's superior to angels being the Savior who took on human flesh. And guess what? He surely doesn't give help to angels. They're lower. He gives help to man. See that? He gives help to the descendants of Abraham. You go, okay, what's that? Well, first of all, this term gives help is an interesting word because there's two different parts here, and this is good to see and understand. It means to take firm hold, to grasp or seize someone, to help them, to grab them, to help them. And who does he help? He helps those of faith. He doesn't help angels. He helps literally the seed of Abraham. What's the seed of Abraham? We see in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, in this context of the New Testament, it is those who are in a relationship with the living God through faith. Galatians 3:29, and if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. He gives help to believers. That's what he's saying. The seed of Abraham are believers. Now, a true Jew is a Jew who is a Jew and is saved. But all believers are of the seed of Abraham, the one in whom his seed, all the nations, will be blessed. You believe in Jesus, you're blessed eternally. It is Christ who helps those who are of faith, those who he delivered from Satan and death and from their bondage to sin. He doesn't help those who are dead in their sins. He liberates them. He helps those who have been freed. For assuredly, he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the sinner of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren. Remember, since the children share in flesh and blood, he had to be made like us in all things. He had, literally the verb speaks of an obligation. He had a debt, an obligation to be made like his brother. That means to take on human flesh and to be placed into the context in which we are, yet without sin. Made like, comparatively speaking, his brethren in all things. What does he mean by this? You can look up to Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. In his humanity, when he was relying on the Father, like us, he was tempted in all things. He grew up. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. He was tempted by Satan, tempted certainly from the external temptations. He went hungry. He had no place to lay his head. He grew weary. He was sore. He was lied to, falsely accused. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, one from whom men hid their face. He was despised. They didn't esteem him. He was betrayed. He was beaten. He was reviled, and he was crucified. Jesus experienced temptation and the effect of sinful humanity to the max. He not only became human, he fully entered into man's human experience, yet without sin. When you catch yourself, don't ever be saying, oh, you don't know what, you don't know what's going on with me. The Lord knows, and he wants to help. He doesn't give help to angels, doesn't give help to non-believers. He gives help to the descendants of Abraham, to believers. Therefore, because we're human, he had to be made like us, and he was obligated. Yet why? So that he would be a truly merciful and faithful mediator. Look at verse 17. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That he become a faithful and merciful. And that came about by entering in the sphere of humanity and sinful man, but without sin. He had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. You see, a high priest must be one with whom he represents, but yet without sin here. Therefore, he had to become human. He had to experience our temptations. He had to enter into the sphere of fallen mankind, yet without sin. Tremendous. Hebrews 7:25. Hence, also he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He lives to make intercession. What a great God. We said, where are you, Jesus? Where are you? Well, he lives to make intercession. He's interceding. He loves us, wants to help us, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God. The God things. We kind of want him to be our high priest in our things. We want him to be merciful and faithful in our agenda, in our issues. It's the things pertaining to God. He is a merciful and faithful high priest. Merciful speaks of compassion and mercy. It speaks of help for the helpless. And faithful, what a wonderful word. He's faithful. He does what he says. And it says he'll come to our aid. He'll grasp us to help us. He died. He took on human flesh and died for us that he could help us come to our aid. If you're tempted to believe the lie that there's no one to go to, Christ is alone able to sympathize with you. He is merciful and faithful high priest. What we need when we're in trouble. We need mercy. We need someone we can trust completely. We need someone who understands, truthfully understands from a standpoint of righteousness, not our own sinfulness, who can sympathize. And Christ is our merciful and faithful high priest. Got to go to him. And notice he died for us that he would take care of our sin problem. Verse 17, therefore he had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. The term propitiation means atonement, possibly. You might have another word in an NIV. Propitiation has the root idea of it is mercy. The word is translated mercy seat some places. Propitiation in there has that idea of mercy. It speaks of appeasement and satisfaction upon those needing mercy, in a sense. Here in the context of sin being dealt with. Christ was displayed publicly as the satisfaction for our sins. Being justified as a gift through his grace, Romans 3:24, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation through his blood, through faith. He died on the cross. God satisfied. It's finished. Public. It's done. 1 John 2:2, he is the propitiation for our sins, not only for ours, but for those of the whole world. 1 John 4:10, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, the satisfaction. How could Jesus be satisfaction for sin? Jesus being fully man, yet without sin, he could not be held by death. Satan had no power over Christ because he was sinless. So that Christ accomplished the perfect sacrifice for us, and God is satisfied. He is satisfied. Don't try to make things up to God. Just praise him for forgiveness. And ask him to help you not do it anymore. This is how he defeated Satan. He rendered him powerless by taking care of our sin problem. And God's judgment was satisfied. Christ is the only one who could satisfy. And notice, thus he is uniquely qualified to come to our aid. Last verse here. For since he himself was tempted in that which he suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. For he's explaining, Jesus experienced temptation and the effect of sinful humanity to the max. Therefore, he's able to come to our aid. We saw it back in Hebrews 4:14. Since we have so great a high priest who's passed through the heavens, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. Since he was tempted in the things he suffered. By the way, when you suffer, temptation is pretty hard sometimes. When things are going on, suffering physically, you know, whatever it might be, temptation becomes a little more difficult. He was tempted in the things he suffered. Since then, he is able to come to the aid. Now, this word come to the aid is not what we saw earlier, gives help. Gives help was take a firm grasp. You know, here, this word comes to aid is bonthano. It speaks of literally running to the aid of one who cries for help. It speaks of rescue. Help me. Phew. Right? Running to his aid, our aid. It's tremendous. It speaks of rescue. You see, Jesus came and took on human flesh to firmly grasp us and save us from our sins, delivering us from the domain of darkness, dying for us. But his death and suffering for us also enabled him to become a faithful and merciful high priest in which we cry out for deliverance from temptation, who will mercifully and faithfully run to our aid and rescue us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation is overtaking you such as common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. With the temptation, provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. When we sit and grovel around and we don't believe this stuff, it's just a slap in Jesus' face. He's ready to deliver us. Trust him. Believe him. He's merciful. He's faithful. Struggling with temptation and sin? Yep. I would say, yes, I am. I think you would be too, right? We're all tempted, right? Struggle with anger, worry, envy, lust, lack of contentment. Turn to Jesus. He'll come to your aid. He'll run to your aid. He understands and he sympathizes. He's a sympathetic high priest. Sympathetic. I want to read this to close again. Hebrews 4:14. Turn there. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Hebrews 4:14. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, the throne characterized by grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints, and our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Today's message from the book of Hebrews is available to hear again online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. When you visit our website, you'll not only find today's broadcast, but a host of additional audio resources waiting there for you. As a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. This is made possible because of the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that he took on human flesh, that he came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that his work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to him and ask him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank you so much for your word and your son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who do not know you, who still are in their sins, that they would turn from their sin and trust in your son Jesus Christ for salvation.
that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.